Rest of us will be in Luke chapter 8. And so if you would, find your place there in Luke chapter 8. And whenever you find your place, if you wouldn't mind to stand as we read the Word of God this morning. We are in our series on Sunday mornings in Luke 8. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to still stay in this, what I've called the parable of the soils, often referred to as the parable of the sower. But if you hear last week, I believe that the intent is really to focus on the soil, and we'll deal with that today. And we're going to deal with all three of the soils that were not good soil. And then throughout the course of that time, we'll learn how that we can be a good soil. That means have a heart that is open, a heart that's ready to hear from God. And so we're really going to focus our reading in verse 12. But what we'll do is we'll just read the entire parable just to get the context. Look in verse 5. It says this, "And a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." That's the soil we'll deal with this morning. Verse 6, "And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold." And that's the ground our heart we want to be in our heart, good ground, ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Verse 12 is really our focus. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on that good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And so today we're going to deal with that wayside soil, and the title is this, Dealing with a Hard Heart. Dealing with a hard heart. We'll pray, get right into it this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the ability of your word to bring forth that, even as we read, fruit a hundredfold. Thank you for the supernatural power and of your word and how it's living and relevant even today. God, help us to have hearts that are open. Help us to have good ground in our heart, ready to receive your word this morning. Help us not to have hearts that are hard. Help us not to have hearts that are shallow, hearts that are distracted, but Lord, ready to hear from you this morning. Help me as I explain, Lord, what it means to have a hard heart. Help us to glorify you through the end of this sermon. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And so again, we're in the middle of what I call the parable of the soils. And Jesus, as we read, gave a parable about a sower who casts seed. And we said that that was literally the method they would use. They would actually take the seed and broadcast it into their field. And Jesus explained then that the seed was the Word of God in the parable. And the sower in the parable, the one who would cast the seed, would be someone who then would be giving the Word of God to people and telling others what the Word of God says and giving the truth of it. And the soil then is the heart of the one who was hearing the Word of God. And so as the sower would go out and cast the seed would hit four different kinds of soils. Some hit the soil by the wayside, and we're going to talk about that today. Some hit the soil on the rock, and some fell among thorns, and then some fell upon good ground. And so the success of the seed had everything to do with the condition of the soil it landed in. That's important. I'm going to say that again. The success of the seed had everything to do with the condition of the soil it landed in. We said this last week, but Jesus really said very little in our parable about the sower. He said very little about the seed, and that's because if the seed doesn't produce fruit, the problem is usually not really with the sower, as long as he's preaching the Word of God. The problem is definitely not the Word of God itself. It's powerful, it's quick, it has the potential to change our life. No, really the problem, if the seed is not having success, is that the condition of the soil. It's the condition of our heart. It's whether or not we're ready to receive the Word of God or not. And a lot of Christianity today really says the opposite. A lot of Christianity says if the gospel is not penetrating hearts, it's because we need to change the style of the sower. This is the drumbeat of contemporary Christianity today. We are just out of touch. We need to change our style. We need to change how we dress. We need to change our music. We need to connect with our society. And because of that, it has been difficult to find a church that doesn't feel like a rock concert or a country club. And the reverence and the holiness that the house of God used to represent has now been totally replaced often by the entertainment of our world and trying to reach our culture through their own entertainment. And so we need to change the sower, a lot of Christianity says. A lot of Christianity today is saying this, the problem is with the message. It's with the seed. Our message is too mean. Our message is too divisive. People don't like to hear about hell and death and judgment and condemnation. People don't like to hear that they're sinners and are broken before God and need God to save them and to transform them. They don't feel they need to be transformed. They just need to add Christ to their life. And so what we need to do then is change our message and make people feel better about themselves and preach happy and nice messages. And we need to preach motivational speeches. And we need to preach about the champion within us. And we've got this. We just need a little bit of help from God. And that is the drumbeat, again, of contemporary Christianity today. People don't like to hear that suffering and trials in life will come. And in fact, God has a plan for those trials. And He intends to use those trials to grow us as a Christian and to give God glory through the trial. No, we don't want to say that. No, we need to tell them that if they come to church, then they're going to make a lot of money and they'll have no health problems. And there's a lot of Christianity preaching that. It's called the health and wealth prosperity gospel. And it is unbiblical and wholly wrong. It's not right. If they come to our church, everything will be happy and sunshine and roses. This is the message of contemporary Christianity. Well, first of all, that's just not true. Doesn't matter how much you promise that. It's not the reality of our world. Trials do come, and not everything is sunshine and roses. The other problem is this, is that it's not what the Bible says at all. And the problems of our life are not the most important problems people have. Really, it's the problem of the next life that we need to be focused most on. But not to most of Christianity today. In fact, much of Christianity has decided that the message really isn't important at all. And we shouldn't make too big of a deal out of doctrine. We shouldn't be too concerned about differences in belief. As long as we talk about Jesus, and as long as we love one another, what we believe really isn't a big deal. We shouldn't get so hung up on what we think the Bible says. No, friend, actually, that's our main purpose as a church family, is to teach and to preach the doctrines and truths of the Word of God. And the reason we aren't reaching people, they say, is because our message is too narrow. It's too exclusive. And we should let people believe what they want and see, and live how they want. And we should not tell them that they need to change. And so much of Christianity today has bought into the lie that the reason why a lot of people don't like the Bible, the reason why a lot of people don't like church, it's because of the sower or it's because of the seed. It's because there's something wrong with the preacher or it's because there's something wrong with the message. And so contemporary Christianity is doing everything they can to pander and to impress the culture. And it's true. Churches that do this do bring a lot of people into their building, but they aren't reaching very many people for Christ. No. Listen, if success means that we have a lot of people that come and stay and love our message, then Jesus had a lot of problems. because there were a lot of people who walked away from him. In fact, remember the multitudes and the crowds that followed him? Oftentimes, they would walk away because it was a hard saying, or because they didn't agree, or because they didn't get what they wanted out of Jesus. And in the end of it, really all we had left was 120 people who were sticking with Christ and his message. And so if success means having a lot of people following you and having a lot of people love your message, then Jesus failed then, our contemporary Christian mindset. Because a lot of people walked away from him and a lot of people hated his message. In fact, eventually he was killed for it. And if Jesus preached the way that some contemporary Christianity today preaches, they wouldn't have killed him. Not at all. They would have said, thank you and welcome to our exclusive Christianity we have here today. And so what I'm saying this morning is we do not need to change our style to reach the world. We do not need to definitely not change our message to reach the world. Here's what we need to do. We just need to faithfully preach and teach the Bible. In season and out of season, preach the word, whether the culture appreciates it or not. And by the way, most of the time, historically speaking, they're just not going to, by and large, love our message. But we just keep preaching the word. Now, of course, we do need to preach it with love and with tact. We don't need to belligerent people and be unkind. There's no place for that. But we also don't need to obsess with making the Word of God palatable to our culture. Because if it's going to be the Word of God, it is going to be unpalatable to our culture and to our society. We just need to preach the Word. And there's going to be some who reject it, but there will be some who receive it. As Brother Tim even mentioned this morning, there will be a remnant who hear the Word and receive the Word. And there will be that good ground that we're going to talk about. So we don't need to worry too much about how we throw the seed. We don't need to try to change the seed. We just need to keep throwing the seed and praying it hits good soil. And so Jesus addressed here then four different soils, four different hearts that receive the seed. And for today, we're going to focus on that first soil of the heart, which is found in verse 5. And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And so Jesus said some of this seed would fall by the wayside, and we said last week that the field would be divided into long, narrow strips of crops, and they would plant different types of seed in different parts of the field, and between the strips of crops, between the different kinds of plants, there would be these beaten down pathways. And that's where the sower then would be able to walk in and through his field without stepping on the crops, right? That's what he was trying to avoid, is to step on the seed that he planted and step on the plants and trample them down. And so he would make, the sower would and the farmer would make these pathways in his field. And that would be dirt pathways. And the constant traffic on that road, on those pathways, would always be beating down on that road and beating down on that dirt, and all the time it would be stepped on and pressed and pushed and hardened. And again, this would be by design, wouldn't it? This is what that soil was for. The rest of the field, the workers would take great care not to step on the soil. But this soil was meant to be stepped on. This soil was meant to be trampled. This was the wayside. This was the path in the field. And in fact, it would actually be helpful when that pathway was walked on often. Why? Well, because it would make sure that no seed entered that soil. That was what they wanted. They didn't want vegetation on the pathway. They wanted it to be hard, bare soil that would be trampled down. And so this would be unplowed, dry, hard dirt that would become almost as hard as concrete. And that was the point. And that's what they wanted. And so as the sower would cast the seed, some seed was thrown and it would be blown by the wind maybe onto the wayside. He wouldn't try maybe to hit the wayside, but some of it would be blown there. Or it would bounce, you know, into the wayside. Or maybe he would just every once in a while get some and it would land there on the wayside. But here's what it was sure not to do. It was sure not to grow, because it would hit the wayside and it would bounce off. the seed that landed on this hard path would be trampled on or crushed, or it would just be eaten by the birds, or it would just bounce off and bounce into the rest of the field. And here's the point of the wayside soil. The seed would never, ever make it into the dirt. And that was by design. That was by design. Are we doing good so far? Following along? Okay. Okay, so what's that all about? Why is Jesus saying this? Well, he explains it there in verse 12. He says this, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And so Jesus already explained at the end of verse 11 that the seed is the word of God. We made that clear. And so when we're throwing the seed, we're giving people the word of God. And the first purpose of giving the word of God to somebody is so that they would believe the gospel and be saved. Isn't that the first goal we have with every person that we give the word of God to, that they would accept the gospel and be saved? And we're gonna see throughout the rest of these soils that's not really the end goal, right? The end goal of a farmer throwing a seed is not just that it would germinate and sprout. No, actually the end goal is for that seed to germinate and sprout and flourish and grow and produce fruit, right? And that's the goal, right? What God wants for you is not just to be saved, but he wants you to produce fruit for him. That's the purpose, that's the goal that the farmer has for every plant that he plants. And God intends for you, if you don't know God's will for your life, here's God's will for your life. If you're not saved, it's his will that you be saved. And if you are saved, it's his will that you live a life that's glorifying to him and fruitful for him. That's what God wants. He wants to see a hundredfold crop out of your life. That's what the farmer is looking for. But listen, there can be no fruit if there is no plant. And there can be no plant unless the seed enters the soil and germinates and sprouts. And you cannot produce fruit for God unless you first believe the gospel and be saved and have your sins forgiven and become a child of God. And so the first purpose of giving the word is to see people saved. That's what we're out to do, to see people saved and reach the lost. But the problem is that some of the people we witness to are like concrete, aren't they? And the hearts are hard and beaten down, and the gospel has no possibility, it seems like, to penetrate. It makes no impact on them. And we preach the word of God again and again and again and again, and it seems to make no difference. And it's almost like it's the plan. Like that's what they're wanting, right? Why? Well, because they love their sin and they have no interest in the word of God. They have no interest in producing fruit for God. And so they love the life that they have and they are hard. And so whenever they hear the word of God, it's like it bounces right off their heart. And what we call that is a hard heart. A hard heart. No interest in the word of God in the slightest. And the Old Testament calls it a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. That they refuse to hear. A hard heart. So the question then this morning is this: how does somebody get a hard heart? How does that happen? Well, verse 5 says that some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And just like those paths have been purposefully walked on, listen, purposefully walked on and beaten down day after day after day, a hard heart, has been walked on day after day after day by a life of sin. And it has been hardened in them. And their heart becomes callous in them. And they will not let the word of God in. And just like the wayside was formed on purpose to make sure that no seed enters the soil, and it is purposefully not plowed, the hard heart has made a decision that it will not hear. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. Not interested. Hard heart. Just like Pharaoh. Do you remember Pharaoh? When Moses came to Pharaoh And he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, he kind of liked having the Jews as slaves. He kind of liked having them there to do free labor. And he's refused to hear Moses. And he said, I will not let your people go. And here's what the Bible says, that Pharaoh hardened his heart to God, and then God hardened his heart more. And that was the process. And then so then the next time, Moses would come and say, listen, if you refuse, the word of God is this, if you refuse to let my people go, this plague's going to happen. And Pharaoh says, I don't want that, but no, and I refuse. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God hardened his heart. And then another plague comes, and Moses says, okay, that plague has hit, and that should have softened you, so let my people go, God says. And Pharaoh says, no, and plague after plague after plague. Pharaoh's heart is more hard and more hard and more hard and more callous. And no matter how difficult his life became from refusing the word of God, he refused to let it in. And refused to let it in. And his heart was beaten down and beaten down by over and over again rejecting the word. You see? That's a hard heart. No, God did not force Pharaoh to have a hard heart. Pharaoh made a choice that said, I will not hear. And his heart was hardened. Are you following? This is how we get a hard heart. And the more you refuse to hear and accept the word of God, the harder your heart will become. And eventually it'll become callous. You know what a callous is? I play guitar. And when you first start to learn to play guitar, anyone ever tried to pick up the guitar before in here? Some of us, okay? And so as you play the guitar, you're practicing, you know, hour after hour for the first week because you're excited, and your fingers start to hurt a lot. Why? Because your fingers weren't intended to push down really hard on metal like that over and over and over again. And you would wake up in the morning and your fingers would be hurting, and you hate it at first, right? But you just ignore the pain, right? You say, I want to be a guitar player, so I don't care, my fingers hurt. And you just keep playing. So the next day, you pick it up and you keep playing and you keep playing. And the more you do that, the less it hurts. No, it hurt a lot at first. But the more you play, it hurts less and less and less until one day you formed a callus, which is just a big piece of dead, nasty skin on your finger. Right? And it's dead and there's no nerve endings there because you've allowed a callus to grow. If you get in there and dig, you can pull that thing off and do that. It'll hurt again. But if you have that callus there, it doesn't hurt. And that's what people do with the Word of God. They hear the Word of God, and it hits them. And it hurts. I don't like that. I'm not going to do anything about it, though. And so the next time they hear the Word of God, hurts maybe a little bit less this time. But I'm not doing anything about it. And over, they hear the word, and they know they need to change, but they don't want to change. They like their life, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you get hit, and you get hit, and you get hit, and you get hit. And eventually, the word of God doesn't hurt anymore. And that's a bad place to be. Calloused. A heart that has grown callous. So as you hear the truth of the word of God, and as you experience conviction over your sin, you need to do something about that. You need to pay attention. It hurts for a reason. God's trying to get you to change. And it hurts and it's not fun, but if you ignore it and if you stay in your sin, you will eventually develop a calloused and a hard heart. And you'll just live a life of sin. It's dangerous. So a hard heart is calloused to the judgment of their sin. Never softened by conviction. Never softened by repentance. And the heart continues to grow callous and indifferent to the Word of God. So it's trampled, trodden down. And if it wasn't smashed under the trampling of their sin, then the seed was snatched by the devil, it says. You know what it says in verse 12? Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, just like the birds would come and take away this seed. And if the seed wasn't stepped on and smashed immediately, a bird wouldn't take long, would come and take that seed and it would be off. And listen, Satan is constantly at work trying to snatch the seed from the hearts of men, trying to convince man that the Word of God isn't true. And he's been at it since the Garden of Eden. Hath God really said, no, if you do your own thing, if you ignore the Word of God, your life will be better. And that's exactly how he started way back then, and he has been at it, and he is good at it. Convincing men that they don't need God and they don't need His Word. Yeah. And those who give any kind of attention to the Word of God, any kind of consideration, Satan is quick to swoop in and try and snatch it from their heart. He'll snatch it through false teachers. How many have we tried to reach with the gospel who refuse to hear the message because of what they've already been taught? No, thank you. I'm part of this church. I don't need that. Have you heard that before? How many times has the devil used false teaching to snatch the word out of someone's heart? And even if they begin to understand the truth and they have to jump over the hurdles, if they understand, you know, yeah, that is the truth of the Word of God. And yeah, baptism doesn't save me. There's a lot in this town that believe they're saved because they've been baptized. And as you preach the Word of God and you explain, baptism does not erase your sin. Baptism comes after you're saved. Or people who are trying to earn their way to heaven and they think they've done enough and they think that because of everything they've done, they'll go to heaven. Why? Because some false teacher out there has told them that no, you've been saved, and no, you're a good person, and no, you go to this church. And so if you die today, you'll wake up in heaven. And Jesus says, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and this in your name? Saying, no, I've earned it. No, that guy told me, if I did this, if I got baptized, if I was a member of that church, if I was good, then I would go to heaven. And Lord, Lord, have I not done that? And Jesus will say, what? Depart from me, you which work iniquity, for I never knew you. Because salvation is not a system of works. Salvation is a relationship with Christ and trusting what He's done, not what we've done. And you can teach this, and you can preach this truth to those who have been taught that they can work their way to heaven. And it'll start to make some sense to them. And they'll say, oh man, you're right. My baptism doesn't save me. And they'll start thinking that way, but then they'll catch themselves and say, no! If I believe that, that means everything I've ever been taught is wrong. Not only that, everybody who taught me was wrong. And my family and friends who believe this is wrong. And the devil loves that. It's hard to jump those hurdles. And the devil loves to use false teaching to snatch the truth out of the hearts of men who won't admit they're wrong. And he'll snatch it through pride. And they just convince themselves they don't need the Word of God. And they convince themselves they're okay. And yeah, that sounds good. And maybe other people need Christ, but I'm all right. And he'll use pride to snatch the Word of God out of someone's heart. And by the way, everything I just said describes most of Israel in that day, doesn't it? Jesus was constantly, for 3.5 years, throwing seed all over Israel and inviting them to his kingdom. And most of the Jews rejected him. And they rejected his message. And they could not admit that they had been taught by the Pharisees wrongly. They would not admit it. And they were afraid what the society around them would say if they followed Christ and rejected first century Judaism. And many of them compared themselves to the publicans and the drunkards and the harlots in town. And they convinced themselves that I'm not as bad as them. I'll be okay. And no matter how convincing Jesus was, and no matter how good of a sower he was, it bounced right off their heart over and over and over again. And obviously, he was the best sower that could be. He is God himself. He wrote the message. He is the message. He's the Word made flesh. And it would not penetrate hearts. Do we blame Jesus for that? Do we blame the seed? Do we blame the sower? No, it wouldn't penetrate because of the heart, a hard heart, and it bounced off or snatched by Satan before it ever sunk in. And when we throw the seed, we cast the Word of God and we invite people to church, or we try to talk to them about Christ, we encounter a lot of people like this, don't we? Most of the time, this is how what we encounter. It was no different for Christ. Most of the people he encountered were like this. And the most of the people we encounter are like this. By the way, especially right after you're saved. Do you remember right after you got saved and how excited you were about God and what he did for you, and you just wanted to tell everybody? And then you're maybe just as a new Christian, you just think and you're expecting that everybody's going to be as excited as you are. And so you go and you tell them what Jesus did, and it's like it bounces right off their heart. It's disappointing. They have no interest in what you're saying about God. Or maybe throughout the course of your Christian life, God gives you a burden for the lost, and you try to give the gospel to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, and they just want nothing to do with it. And sometimes we beat ourselves up about that, don't we? And we think, maybe I'm just not doing something right. Or maybe I'm not saying something right. Like there's something we're missing, and if we just said the perfect thing at the perfect time, then it would break through and they would listen and they would get saved. But listen, at times like that, it's not really usually a problem of the sower or of the seed. If someone has a hard heart, it doesn't matter how good of a sower you are. Even if you were literally God Himself who became flesh and you knew exactly what was in their heart, and you presented the gospel exactly the way they needed it, the seed would still often bounce off. Jesus proved that, didn't he? And so what do? We just give the seed. And we love them. And we pray that their hearts will be softened. But they have to make the choice to soften their heart. And so what do about all this? Well, what did Jesus do? He just kept throwing the seed. Kept throwing the seed. And over again, encountering the Jews that rejected him and continuing to tell them the gospel. And he just kept throwing the seed. Ezekiel, he was called by God to give a message to Israel. I'm in Ezekiel in my Bible reading, and I was just blown away by this. Don't lose your place here in Luke, but if you want to turn to Ezekiel, we're going to do a few things here. Because I was just, it's just been a problem for a long time. Ezekiel, after Jeremiah, then Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet of God, and he was called by God to give Israel a message, and this was after they were taken into captivity. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was warning Israel, hey, you're living in sin. Hey, you're not glorifying God. Hey, you're worshiping false idols. And if you don't stop this, one day judgment will come, and one day Nebuchadnezzar will come and take this place, and he'll overcome Israel. And they were like, nah. And maybe at first they were like, this is a big deal. We should do something. But they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't. And eventually, they were hard. The Bible says they were hard-hearted, and they would not hear Jeremiah. In fact, they eventually were beating him to a pulp over and over again. What did he do? He just kept telling them, hey, you need to change because judgment's coming. You need to change because judgment's coming. Well, they didn't change, and judgment came. And Nebuchadnezzar came and took them captive. And now Ezekiel, God now sends Ezekiel to this people. And here's what God says about them in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4. God's telling them to give this message, and he says this in verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Sounds like hard-hearted, doesn't it? Stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, whether they listen to you or whether they reject you, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And then I was reading, that was yesterday. Today I was in Ezekiel 3, and I couldn't believe it. Where is it? Let's see. I need to find it because it's like awesome. Look at verse 27 of chapter 3. But I will speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear. That sound familiar to you? Isn't that what Jesus said? Him that hath ears, let him hear. And he that forbeareth, let him forbear. They that reject, let him reject. For they are a rebellious house. And so God told Ezekiel, you just need to tell them, thus saith the Lord. And even if they don't hear the message, they'll know that a prophet is among them. That's how we deal with a hard heart. We just make sure they know that we love them and there is a prophet among them. And if Israel, listen, if Israel ever softened their heart and they were ever ready to hear the word of God, they would know that there is a prophet among them. And they would know who to go to listen to God. You see? And that's what God wanted for Israel. He just wanted them to have a chance to know and to make sure there is a prophet among them. So if they ever softened their heart, he would be there to give the message. And listen, we are not called to convince people. We cannot. We are not called to convince men. We are just called to say unto them, thus saith the Lord. And whether they hear and obey the truth or not, they will know that there is someone in their life giving them the word of God. Does that make sense? And you have people in your life that are like this, that are hard-hearted, and you've been trying to reach them over and over and over. I hope, because if you haven't experienced this, that means you haven't done a whole lot of witnessing and telling people about God. But there are people, if you're trying to reach people with the gospel, there are people in your life that don't want to hear it, and they have a hard heart. Well, what do? Well, we just make sure they know where to go when they're ready to hear. We tell them, thus saith the Lord, and make sure they know that there is someone in their life they can go to. No, we don't need to hassle them with it. We don't need to beat them over the head with it every day. We just make sure that they know you still have seed. No, I still have seed. Whenever you're ready, I have seed. You keep loving them, and you keep being a good testimony to them, and every once in a while, bring up the Word of God and throw another seed to remind them you still have seed. And along the way, things happen in life, don't they? Things happen that have a way of breaking up some soil. And when those times come, they will know where the sower is. They will know who has seed. And when the soil is broken, you'll be there to throw some more seed. Maybe it'll hit some soil that's ready to receive. That's how we deal with a hard heart. But how about you? Are you hard-hearted this morning? Are you that hard, dry road at the edge of the field? Have you allowed your heart to be hardened by sin and so in love with your sin that you won't even consider the truth? It can happen to any of us. It happened to the people of God over and over. In Jeremiah's day, in Ezekiel's day, in Jesus' day, we can, if we're not careful, allow our heart to be hard. Have you ever been so comfortable in your sin? Maybe right now, so comfortable in your sin and in your unbelief that the Word of God really has no effect? Have you been unwilling to admit that what you have learned in the past maybe wasn't the truth of the Word of God? Have you been unwilling to admit that maybe some of the decisions in your life were not right? Have a hard, calloused heart? Yeah, maybe it hurt in the past, but now it's less and less. And now you're living a life in sin and it doesn't bother you. It's a hard heart. How do you recognize a hard heart? Well, if you're looking at your watch and wondering when we're going to be done with this, that would be a good indicator. If the preaching of the Word of God is messing with your Sunday, you might have a hard heart. If the preaching of the Word of God is unbearable and boring, you might have a hard heart. If the Word of God doesn't affect you, and it doesn't cut like a two-edged sword, like Hebrews says it does, cutting asunder the soul and the spirit and the intents and thoughts of the heart, if the Word of God is not piercing your soul, then there's a good chance you have a hard heart. If you are unaffected by the Word of God this morning, here's what you need to do. You need to cry out to God and ask Him to plow the ground of your heart and soften your heart. And listen, as a preacher, I can't do anything about that. And oh, I wish I could. I wish I can just go out there with a big old plow and just plow up hearts and soften hearts and get ready to hear. No, but I can't do that. But God can if you let Him. And He wants to. And God could. I won't tell you that God can't plow your heart. But I will tell you He won't do it unless you want Him to. He's not going to force the seed into your heart. No, He's done everything He can without forcing you. But He won't force you. He's a gentleman and He's kind. And He will patiently be there waiting to plow the ground of your heart. Waiting to have somebody throw a seed there. But you're going to have to cry out and ask Him to do that. You just need to ask Him. Allow your heart to be broken by the Word of God. You need to deal with your hard heart, maybe. And if you're finding that you encounter a lot of hard hearts, that's okay. That's okay. Don't be discouraged by that. You're not the first one who has encountered a lot of hard hearts. Actually, our Savior Himself did. You just make sure that they know that there is a sower among them who is ready to cast the seed when the time is right. Dealing with a hard heart. Lord, we come before You this morning thankful for the truth of Your Word. And God, we're thankful that the seed is powerful. Lord, that Your Word is strong enough to change any life and to change any heart that will allow it in. And God, I pray that those in this room right now, if there's some hard hearts, that they would cry out to You and beg You, Lord, to soften Your heart, their hearts, and allow You to do the process of breaking up that hard dirt and allowing the seed to enter and to germinate and to make an impact, God. And we think of so many in this town that have hearts that will not allow the Word of God to enter. And God, we just pray that You would do that work again of just convicting and bringing, Lord, to mind the Word of God in them. But Lord, I pray that they would decide to soften their heart. Help us to be faithful sowers. Help us, Lord, to have our presence known in this community, that they would know, that Falls City would know that there is a sower among them ready to give them the seed. Lord, we love You. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.